Message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Yeah. for me. He's done enough. Over and over and over again. Oh! neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Now, if you can testify that he's been good, come on and give him your kind of praise. I didn't say my kind, I said give him your kind of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, choir. Our youth choir, our adult choir. And we look forward to hearing that kind of praise. Amen. At Mayfest. Now, let me tell you, they're going to have all kind of secular groups out there singing about wine and whiskey. But Pleasant Hill Choir is going to be there telling them about a man. Oh, come on, come on. Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Let us stand all over this place. We want you to pray with us.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we're going to have you to take your seats and follow us in this word. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And Lord, we pray that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word of God that will remind us that you are God. Hallelujah. You sit high and you look low. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you shall do. In Jesus' name. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, there are three passages of scripture that we want you to make note of this morning, and we will read them individually. First, if you'll turn with us to the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 1, and the A part of verse 2. John chapter 3, verse 1, and the A part of verse 2. And there you will find these words. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Let me hear everybody say, at night. Then I want you to turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we want you to jump down to verses 50 and 51. John chapter 7, verses 50 and 51, and there you'll find these words. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? Amen. And then finally, John chapter 19 and verse 39. John chapter 19 and verse 39. And there you will find these words. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Amen. And I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject. I need to be converted. I need to be converted. Thank you, ushers. Conversion, my brothers and sisters, involves transformation. It is to undergo change as the result of an experience. Rarely do people change without going through some kind of an experience. You'll find very few drug addicts who just wake up one morning and decide to stop using drugs. You will find very few alcoholics who just wake up one morning and they make up their minds to leave the bottle alone. You will find few gambling addicts who just decide to stop gambling. That kind of conversion usually requires some kind of traumatic, life-jarring experience. A drunken stupor, not knowing where you are, what you've done, your health begins to fail, and a doctor tells you that you're killing yourself. You've gone through your mortgage money and your car note money. You've gone through your insurance money and bill collectors are breathing down your neck. Then you decide to make a change in your life. As it is for those things, I've stopped by this Sunday morning to tell you that it's the same way many times as it relates to spiritual conversion. Spiritual conversion comes from having an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But far too many in the church have not been converted. Let me say that again. Far too many in the church have not been converted. They serve in church ministries, sing church hymns, usher church aisles, teach church Bible studies, preach from church pulpits, give their tithe and their offering, and yet they have not truly been converted. Yes. No real change has taken place. And you need to understand that while conversion comes by way of an experience with the Lord, not every experience with the Lord results in conversion. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I remind you of a fellow named Judas Iscariot. The Bible says that he walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw Jesus do a lot of great things. He heard Jesus preach the life-saving words of the gospel. But at the end, Judas was not converted. How do you know it? We know it because the Bible says that he betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver and then went out and hung himself. Y'all do remember Peter. Peter had seen Jesus do some marvelous things. He saw him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. He saw a transfigured Jesus engage in a divine dialogue with Moses and Elijah. But with all that Peter had experienced with Jesus, Peter still had not been converted. Amen. Because when the moment of truth came, the Bible says Peter denied that he had ever known Jesus. And do you know, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people in the church for reasons other than because they've been converted. Somebody's here to make their spouse happy. You know, you won't get any peace at home unless, amen, you take care of those honeydews and honey says, let's go to church. And so somebody's here, but your mind is somewhere else. Somebody's trying to bargain with God. Yeah, that's why you're here. Amen. You're not really interested in worship. You're not really interested in praise. You're here to make a bargain with God. You've made a mess that you need the Lord to fix, and you figure you've got a better chance with God if you come to church first. Somebody's here today out of a sense of obligation. You came more out of habit, amen, than a genuine desire to worship the Lord. And you feel like God ought to be glad that you got here. And I don't believe that we ought to have to beg folk to come to church. I don't believe that we ought to have to pump folk up and prod folk to come to church. I believe that if you have truly been converted, if a true change has taken place in your life, if you really realize that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would not have made it. Nobody should have to beg you to come. Do I have any witnesses here who can testify that I'm here because a change has come in my life? I stop by to tell you that if you haven't come because you've been converted, if you haven't come because you know God is worthy to be praised, if you haven't come with a mind that stayed on him, then you may be in the right place, but you're not here for the right reason. And I fear that you will leave no better than you were when you came. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to be converted. In these texts today, John tells us about a man who had an encounter with Jesus. He had an experience with Jesus, but his experience did not lead to conversion. Nicodemus, you Bible readers will note, is only mentioned in John's account and only 3 times in that account. We know that he was a Pharisee. We know that he was an expert in the law of Moses. We know that he was politically savvy. Amen. For he was a member of the powerful Sanhedrin Council. He was well educated. He was wealthy and quite religious. Many of the things that most of us aspire to be. But with all Nicodemus had going for him, his life is a portrait of one who got close to Jesus, but didn't allow his closeness to end in conversion. Let me say this to the young people today. Young people, get all that you can out of life. Get the best education that you can. Use your education and your talent to earn the best income that you can get. Get a good religious foundation. Read your Bible. Come to worship and Bible studies so that you may be grounded in God's will. But please remember that true success in life will always be just beyond your grasp until you've had a conversion experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't live by the word until you've been converted. You cannot make the most of your education or your talent until you've been converted. You won't know how to use your financial resources effectively until you've been converted. I wonder if there's anybody in Pleasant Hill this morning or anybody watching us on Facebook Live this morning who can testify that nothing really changed for the better in my life until I got into a real intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's my testimony. I have figured it out, y'all, that you can have all the money that your bank account can hold. You can have a fine house. I heard Pastor Theron Jackson say this past week that some folk leave $300,000 houses in $50,000 cars to come to a $1 million building to give a dollar in the offering. And what I have come to understand is that you can have great wealth, you can have great ability, you can have great talent, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, is there anybody here who knows that trials come? And I don't care how rich you get, amen, your money cannot isolate you from the devil bringing trouble into your life. Is there anybody here who knows you can have great singing ability, great athletic ability, but even with all of that, you can get in trouble like OJ, you can get in trouble like some of these other athletes and entertainers, and if you don't truly know Jesus, there have been a whole lot of talented folk who've taken their own lives. I'm so glad that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that no matter what comes my way, I'm able to stand because I know him. Is anybody glad in the house to know him? Nicodemus was a great man with great potential, but he fell short. He had his chances, but he didn't make the most of his opportunities. His first opportunity is found in John 3. When Nicodemus got curious about Jesus, he had observed Jesus in Jerusalem, and he was impressed with what he had seen. He was there when Jesus cleared the temple and chided the people for having defamed his father's house. And Nicodemus wanted to learn more about him. He says to him, "Rabbi, I know that you're sent from God, for no one could do the things that you have done unless God sent him." But it's not so much what Nicodemus said as it was the way in which he went to Jesus. John is careful to tell us that he came to Jesus by night. He was worried about his colleague. Amen. He was worried about what his boys and his friends would think if they knew that he was going to see Jesus. The Sanhedrin had labeled Jesus a fanatic, someone to be given no credibility at all. So despite his curiosity, Nicodemus decided, "I don't want to risk anything. So the only way I can come to Jesus is come to him by night." Church, there are a lot of people who think that the only way they can come to Jesus is by night. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, when you come here on Sunday and have a good time in church, but then leave here and you still can't treat your neighbor right, that's coming to Jesus by night. When you come here for Bible study, but leave here with hate and anger burning in your heart, that's coming to Jesus by night. When you come here and sing Zion songs and get happy, but then leave here not speaking to folk and dragging folks' name through the mud, that's coming to Jesus by night. When you come here talking about how good God is and how much he's done for you, but then no one can see the light of Christ in you, on your job or in your home or in your social activities, then that's coming to Jesus by night. And you need to know that it's all right to be curious about Jesus, but it's bad to let other things mean more to you than your personal relationship with the Lord. Yeah. Somebody here today is calling themselves a Christian, and yet there is unforgiveness and meanness and selfishness fresh on your hearts and minds. And when you're like that, you're coming to Jesus by night. He was curious about Jesus. Nicodemus was looking for something that would lift the spiritual darkness that was pressed down so heavy in his heart, but he felt that the only way he could come to Jesus was by night. And it was a convicting experience. This man had a convicting experience with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus told him, "Man, you've got to be born again." And you would think that after such an experience, Nicodemus would have been converted. But conviction does not always produce conversion. And when we turn to our second scripture, we see that Nicodemus still wasn't converted. When you turn to the seventh chapter, Jesus' popularity was growing with the people, and it was causing great concern for the Pharisees. They had sent the temple guards to seize Jesus and bring him to them, but they returned testifying that they couldn't stop him. For no one has ever spoken the way this man does. And you would have thought that after Nicodemus had been convicted by Jesus' words to him, that he would have been one of the ones that would have stood up for Jesus and said, "Y'all got him wrong. Y'all got it twisted. Amen. He's a good man. He speaks the words of life." But you can know when somebody is not truly converted when God gives them an opportunity to stand up for the gospel, to stand up for righteousness, to speak up for the name of Christ, but they won't say a mumbling word. That song says, "I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself." You can know when somebody's converted, amen, when they don't mind sharing the good news about Christ. Can I tell you, that's one reason our churches are dying. That's one reason our numbers are dwindling, because won't nobody tell anybody about Jesus. You got folk in your house that you won't even testify about. You know that son needs to know about Jesus. You scratching your head trying to figure out why they're doing this and why they're doing that. Well, if you would stop long enough and tell them about a God that will pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground, conversion can come to your house. But you won't tell them. You ain't been converted. Do I have a witness today? And my brothers and sisters, I'm going to close right there, but I want Pleasant Hill to know that God is looking to make a change in our lives. What kind of change, Pastor? The kind of change that will make us bold enough to tell dying men and women about a Savior who went to an old rugged cross. He let them drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And the Bible says they pierced him in his side, and the blood came streaming down. Is there anybody here who knows that it is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can wash us whiter than snow? It is nothing but the blood of Jesus that can make us whole again. Well, if you know that there's power in his blood, then you ought to be compelled to tell that dying man, that person on the street, amen, tell them about Jesus. I was in Walmart just the other day, and I've seen this challenge that they're doing on TikTok, and this young man, he'll go up to somebody and say, and have this stuff and say, "Would you pay for this for me, please?" And most of them say, "No, I'm not paying for that. You need to get a job." He go to somebody and say, "Would you pay for this for me, please?" And they say, "No."